Father, I thank you for our time today. I thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to come and hear your word and to worship you and to lift you up and to gather together and do that. Father, I just pray that as we look at the things we're going to look at today, I pray that you would help us to see where we each fit into what's going to be said. When we talk about what's happening and what's coming, that you would help us to see where we fit into that, where our place is, where our role is. Father, I just pray for your Spirit just to fill this room with your presence, moving around the room and just touching us and speaking to us, and that as we are looking into your word and the things in your word, Lord, I pray that we would have a strong, powerful encounter with you today. Just come have your way with us, God, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Lord, I also lift up those of us that have family members that are in the hospital or are recovering from serious illnesses. God, I just pray for their healings, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are such a powerful God that we can stand here and we can pray for them and you can touch them where they are and you can bring healing to them. There is no limit to your power. There's no limit to your ability to heal. And we just thank you for that, Lord, and we just give you glory for that. And we just lift up our loved ones, Lord, that are struggling right now in their health. Lord, I just pray for their conditions to improve. I pray for them to recover. I pray for them to be strengthened. I pray for whatever is ailing them, for them to be healed from it, for that thing to leave their body. And we pray this in your name and your authority, Lord Jesus. Just bring them all into health and into total order. And we just ask this in your name. And we just thank you, God, that you are still the God that heals. And we just give you glory, and we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you've not been reading the weekly articles, or if you've not read the one that I wrote this past week, I wrote about how I see us going down two roads right now. One road that we're going down is the road of reopening. And with that, it's trying to adhere to all of the COVID restrictions and which have changed the face of how we do church right now. But also because of COVID, many churches have not returned to the numbers that they were seeing before shelter in place. And this is having an impact on these churches, and it's having an impact on them in a number of different ways. But then there's another road that we're going down at the same time. And it's the road of stepping into a new season of the church. See, I believe that the church, and I include with that our church, is changing. I've been kind of thinking about this and praying about this for a while, and I haven't been totally sure about it at first. But as time goes on and the days pass and I pray about this and I talk with other people, I'm becoming more and more convinced of this. The change that we're going through right now is a change from what was to what is for a new time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 says, "There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak." I believe that the church is in an appointed time. And as I walk down this road, I'm beginning to hear it from other pastors that I know. That the church is in a time of the old being the way things were before COVID-19, that old way is dying. It's being uprooted. It's being torn down. It's being thrown away. And that this time of reopening is not just a time of reopening, but it's a time of giving birth, that something has been planted and now it's starting to build up. And that this new season of the church is a time where things are being sewn back together, that what was seems to be unraveling, but it's actually being pieced back together into something new. See, the old has to die before the new can come. If some of you feel like things seem to be changing, if some of you feel that things seem to be dying, well, guess what? It's because they are. But what is changing is the old. That the new is forming and it's birthing out of that. And it's easy for us to get so caught up in seeing and feeling the changes of the old that was familiar that we fear for it. We can therefore miss the new in doing that if we've not seen before that what is that if we haven't seen before what is forming right before our very eyes. And it's easy to miss it because it's new. You know, it's easy to focus on what is because it's familiar. We've seen it. And so it's a time to look with new eyes at what has been and to pay attention to our feelings as well as praying and seeking God on this. For several weeks, I've been talking about being a spiritually sensitive people. And it's time to be discerning in what we're feeling and seeing. To not feel and see with fear, which is normal and is natural in the face of change. But we need to be going with God, with what we're seeing and feeling, and let Him speak to us. And so it's important that we not react, which is to look and feel and turn away in panic. But to be people that respond, which is to look at it, feel it, sit with it, and with God and ask, what does this mean, God? What are you doing, God? And what are you saying? And listen and trust Him and step down that path that He's lying down right in front of us. And let's walk with Him in going down that path. I said in the article that the prophetic words that we got for 2020 was that it was going to be a year of clearing things away. It was going to be a year of exposing. And it was going to be a year of establishing. Now, when those words went out, we didn't know exactly what that was going to mean. Or what that was going to look like. 3 months later, we became aware of the COVID-19 virus. And we were faced with a pandemic, and we were faced with a shutdown that spread across the globe. And this was unprecedented in our lifetime. The shutdown cleared things away. We had been in a time of exposing prior to the pandemic here, with a year or so of trials and things going on throughout our church family, and they were happening on a level that I had not seen before. It was a time of testing. It was a time of exposing as people experienced challenges in their lives with health and family and property and finances and all kinds of things. And these challenges exposed us. They exposed what was in us and how we handled and responded to those challenges. And it showed us what was in us. And it confronted what was in us. In those moments, we were faced with choices. Among other things, we were facing the choices of what we were going to do with what we see in us as things surfaced in that time. Are we going to see it? Are we going to look at it? Are we going to acknowledge it? Are we going to simply get all caught up in the circumstances of the situation and not stop to look and ask the questions of, what are you doing, God? And what do you want me to see? And what do you want me to do? And what needs to change? And the pressure has been steadily mounting ever since, as things that did not surface before surfaced later as time went on and the pressure increased. And I'll tell you, it's still going on. Why is it going on? So that what God wants to die in us, die. And be uprooted, that we would see and cooperate with Him in letting go of and letting go and letting him tear down the old in us that needs to be torn down and torn apart and thrown away so he can birth something new in us and plant something new and heal what needs healing and rebuild what was torn down into something new that is different in us. To identify what we have hung on to that needs to be thrown away now. But to hang on to what needs to be for the new season. To tear apart in us what needs to be torn apart so it can be reformed into what it needs to be for where we're heading. And some people saw this and they cooperated with it. Some saw this and resisted it. And some missed it. And have therefore hung on to what was and have entered and have either missed it to some degree or they totally miss it altogether, what God is doing. But you know, God in his goodness didn't stop there. And so the pressure mounted. And some saw who did not see before. Some still resisted. But some surrendered to what God was doing. And for those who still do not see or resist it, the pressure continues to rise. Because God has a plan. And he has a place for everyone in this new season. But there are things with us and things in us that have no place in what is birthing. And so God is trying to separate from us those things that so that we don't carry them into the new time. And some people are being repositioned because they're needed elsewhere for what God is doing there. And some are being repositioned because they refuse to see and let go. Because them, still with these things, in them and with them is not what God wants for where he's taking some places. And this is important because we make up the church and what is in us and what we carry, whether it be good or bad, it impacts the church. And so God doesn't want us bringing the old that doesn't belong into the new that he's doing. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So we're in a time of great change. Now, many churches that shut down are now reopening. And as we all do, some ministries are continuing. And continued during the shutdown. Some ministries have not started up yet. And some ministries will not start up. But the ones that remain will, and the ones that remain will be, to some degree, they may look different. But here again, it's a time to look with spiritual eyes and ask, what is God doing and what does God want to do with us? One of the challenges of this time is that as God does this, it doesn't look like what we expected. I mean, once church is reopened, what did we hope to see? We hope that when we reopened that the doors would open and we would see droves of people coming in here. We expected tons of people to pour in here. You know? We expected to see lines forming outside the door to get in here. We expected to see a revival, as some would define revival, in the church. But instead we saw a fraction of our people return. Why is that? Well, some are fearful because of the virus. And again, that's not a judgment, that's not a criticism, it's just a statement of where some people are. Some have gotten used to not coming. And some are going in different directions now and are not coming back. If we had just come back to where we were before all this happened, if we had gone back to where we were before, I really believe we would have seen nothing. I believe we would have learned nothing if we had just come right back to the way we were. if we had the same amount of people coming in now that we did before all this started, I think we would have learned and seen nothing. And we would have continued on the way we were. And God's saying, it's a new time. And I want you to be a part of it. Now, our church is no stranger to numbers going up and down, seeing the end of one season and the birthing of another. You know, in the 80s, our church went from being a much larger church, much grander in the things that we did, to a time of exposing of things going on behind the scenes in the church that were not good. These things were going on as we had grand productions, we had beautiful worship services, big worship services, and the Spirit of God was present in the building. And yet, these things that were not good were going on. There was division as we looked good on the outside. But under the surface, things were very unhealthy for a variety of different reasons, which manifested in various activities and behaviors that were known to certain and few, and were in direct contrast to what people were seeing in the more public arena. But God began to move. People began to leave. And some were divinely removed. All of a sudden, people got job transfers and they left. People got promotions and they had to move away. People moving out of the area due to, say, entering into retirement and buying a home in another state. Selling of homes and relocating suddenly. Or moving away due to the pull of family from out of the area and so forth. We also began to address the problems that were becoming apparent within our house. More people left as infighting continued. And we entered into a time of taking drastic measures to end the conflicts, which resulted in the termination of any activity that might potentially ignite more bad feelings in an attempt to lay a foundation of peace and healing so we could rebuild. And I remember in this time, I remember wanting to leave. And in talking with others, I found that there were others that also wanted to leave. But we just could not. I mean, it seemed weird. I mean, if you're not happy somewhere, why stay, right? But something inside a number of us just would not let us leave. And so after a series of interims and losing two pastors, we eventually got a pastor that was unlike any that many of us had seen before. A man that was not only gifted in speaking and teaching, but a man that introduced us to the moving of the Holy Spirit that was uncommon to our denomination. And we became the different church in our denomination, but also a church of influence. And we grew under this. We grew, and then we plateaued, and then we started a gradual decline. But before that, we heard a message of God leaving a remnant with which to rebuild with. And suddenly upon hearing that message, those of us who were struggling with wanting to leave but couldn't realize that we were part of a remnant that God kept to rebuild with, and we did. Now, a remnant is what is left from a larger piece of something, or one or a few left from a larger group of people. Remnants may not always look impressive at first, but in the hands of God, they can be powerful. Joseph was such an individual. Joseph was the son of Jacob, or as he was also renamed, Israel. His brothers hated Joseph. They hated him because of his relationship that he had with his father. They were jealous of him. And because of his dreams that he was getting of the family members bowing down to him, which in reality was prophetic of what was going to happen in the future. But at this time, they didn't know that. Nor did they dream that they would actually be bowing down to him. They couldn't imagine that. And so one day, Joseph's brothers are shepherding their father's flock. And so Jacob reminds Joseph to go check on them and bring back a report to his father. And it says in Genesis chapter 37, verse 18, it says, when they saw him from a distance, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. And they said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Now then, come, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits, and we will say a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard this. Reuben is one of his brothers. Reuben heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let's not take his life. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him, and they threw him and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. So what happens then is that they sell Joseph to some Ishmaelite traders that were going to Egypt. They came by the way, and they told their father that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Now, Joseph did not want to be where he was. He didn't want to go to Egypt. He definitely didn't like being in that pit. But God would use him. He just didn't know it yet. And again, as time went on, he would find favor. He found favor where he was. He found favor in Egypt. But as soon as he found favor, he found himself in trouble by being falsely accused of rape by the wife of the captain of the bodyguard that he was serving when he refused her advances and he was thrown in jail, which put him in contact with two of Pharaoh's officials who were thrown in jail for upsetting him. And while in there, they have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dreams. And those things that Joseph said would happen to these men, you know, from the dreams that they had. You know, they dreamed that one, that the cupbearer would be restored to his position, and he was. And the interpretation of the other dream was that the other official, the baker, would be executed, and he was. Now, after this, Joseph is forgotten about for 2 years until Pharaoh had two dreams of his own. And he's having dreams of future events, but he didn't know what these were. And no one could interpret them. And at that point, the cupbearer remembers and he says, hey, there was this guy that I met in jail, and we had dreams, and he interpreted them. So he mentions this to Pharaoh. As a result of this, Pharaoh is brought out of jail and brought before the presence of Pharaoh. And God gives Joseph the interpretation of Pharaoh's dreams. One of the things we can take away from this is that, you know, sometimes on our journey to where we're going, things may look bad. But they're really good. In fact, they're divine. We don't see it yet. In fact, things may even get worse. They may get disappointing. But we need to remember that there is a divine process going on. Going down to verse 25 of Genesis 41. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are seven years. The dreams are one and the same. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin scorched ears, by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. So his dream was that first he saw two sets of cows coming out of the Nile River. And one set of cows, they looked good, they looked healthy. And the second set of cows that came up behind them that were all ugly and thin and emaciated. And the emaciated cows ate the healthy cows. Then he has this other dream about, a stalk of corn. And this one stalk had these beautiful ears of corn on them. And then another stalk pops up, and the ears on it are not looking good at all, really unhealthy. I mean, something we wouldn't eat. We'd throw it away. We'd burn it, feed it to the hogs or whatever. And the unhealthy-looking ears ate the healthy ears. And this is a picture of 7 years of prosperity and then 7 years of famine. And he had two dreams because one confirmed the other. And so he says here, he says, it is as I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming in all the land of Egypt, and after them 7 years of famine will come, and all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will ravage the land. So the abundance will be unknown in the land because of that subsequent famine, for it will be very severe. Now, as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God and God will quickly bring it about. Now, it doesn't stop there. Because God doesn't only give Joseph the interpretation of the dreams, he gives him the strategy of how to deal with the famine that's coming. It says in verse 33 of that same chapter, it says, "Now let Pharaoh look for a man discerning and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh take action to appoint overseers in charge of the land, and let him exact a fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of abundance. Then let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain for food in the cities under Pharaoh's authority, and let them guard it. Let the food become as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine which will occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land will not perish during the famine." Now, upon hearing this, Pharaoh is just overjoyed. He's overwhelmed and pleased. It says in verse 37 of chapter 41 of Genesis, it says, "Now the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his servants. Then Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is the divine spirit?' So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and according to your command, all my people shall do homage. Only in the throne will you be greater than I.'" The famine came and was indeed severe, but God's plan was given to Joseph, and the plan worked. It goes on to say in verse 47 and 49, it says, "During the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundantly. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed the food in the cities. He placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. Thus Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure." Then going down to verse 56 and 57 of that same chapter, it says, "When the famine was spread over all the face of the earth, then Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. The people of all the earth came to Joseph to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe in all the earth." So, what happened here was this resulted in Joseph's brothers traveling to Egypt to buy grain, which would eventually result in Joseph being reunited with his family and his family moving to the land of Goshen in Egypt, where they would grow and they would prosper as a people for generations until the events in Exodus, which would be the end of one season and the beginning of another one, to where the people would now become slaves, but then they would be liberated by God and eventually become a nation. Seasons came and seasons went. There were blessings and there were challenges, but God planned it. God set things in motion, and God provides a way for what he wants to do. And this all started with one young man who was loved and hated at the same time, who was the victim of an unjust act that placed him where he didn't want to be, and then things got worse. But it positioned him to be used in a way that he didn't see at first, but eventually he did. And later, Joseph says this to his brothers who had sold him into slavery the years before. It says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 19, it says, "But Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this pleasant result to preserve many people alive.'" Eventually, he saw it. But sometimes, when we're in the midst of things, we don't see it all. We don't understand it all. Now, over the years of our history, we have faced many challenges as we have transitioned. You know, as we became that different kind of church and the Spirit of God moved in our place, you know, many embraced that transition to these new things. Some did not. Some left. And some came. We face other challenges too. Other conflicts within due to varying beliefs that arose, challenges in the economy in our area, issues with members and leaders, as well as God moving people in different directions, which added to our decline. And this resulted in more changes. Some were unthinkable, with long-established people and leaders leaving for various reasons. But with that, new people arose. And as these changes occurred, there was the battle of acceptance of what was going on, the battle to hang on to what was, and the battle to embrace the new that was happening. And this all took place over a period of over 30 years. As these battles raged behind closed doors in meetings and in the hearts and the minds of people. And then the church was hit by its greatest challenge of all, COVID-19, which has brought us to where we are now. So the question is, why am I rehashing all that history, you know, that we've moved through in these times of our, you know, in our 70 plus years here? God was moving. He was moving in people and repositioning them. He was moving and bringing new people in. He was moving and moving people on and moving and rising people up. We have seen this through history with God's people. You know, it started with God working with individuals, which became tribes, which grew to tremendous numbers of people. They went from years of freedom to slavery to being delivered. They spent 40 years in the wilderness where God tried to develop them into the people to take the land that he promised to them. The second generation of those people entered and took the land because the first generation wouldn't cooperate. Upon taking the land, the people eventually had their ups and downs with disobedience and then with oppression. Until then, God would raise up a deliverer. The people would celebrate their freedom and renew their obedience to God, only to fall again to rebellion and then to oppression again, which resulted in God sending another deliverer. And this cycle would repeat over and over again, and then God's people wanted a king. He seemed good at first, but then he went bad. And God rose up another king, who was a great king, but he had problems too. His son took the throne, and Israel enjoyed the unparalleled season of wealth and prosperity until they got a new king, which resulted in the division of the kingdom and generations of good and bad kings until the kingdoms came under captivity and exile. But God worked within that, and people eventually were released. They rebuilt their city and they renewed their covenant with God. And then hundreds of years passed and the nation came under the rule of another power. And there was corruption among God's leaders. But in that time, God also sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of the entire world. And with his death and resurrection, a new era of the people of God began. A powerful move of God is birthed. Over the years, many people have died in that move of God to bring it forward in the lives of people and situations, which eventually brings us to today. The church has always been in transition. Always. There have been ups, there have been downs, there's been things dying and changing, and then a resurgence. This is just part of life in the church. And now I believe that we're entering into a new season with reopening. We're not dying in the sense of a church closing its doors. On the contrary. What's dying is some of what was, and it's giving birth to a new season of the church, of people stepping up into places that are new, of roles changing for some, even who we are maybe being altered a bit. And this is being done to take our house to where God wants it to go for the next season, for the work that he is doing within his people. And him doing what he wants to do. And as he does this, as I said, he's doing a work in people. From where the house is going and growth and development of his people. And for some, it's preparing them for what is to come in their destinies. Because we all have a destiny. In this last week's article, I said too that wherever you find yourself in all that I've said, please keep in mind that all that God does with us is to grow us and to shape us for his purposes and the destiny that he's called us to. Regardless of where you are in God's purposes of placement, God has a plan for every life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Proverbs 23:18-19 says, surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. The question that we all need to be asking ourselves as we walk into this new season is, what is God leading each of us to do? And what does God want Community of Grace to look like now? Now, he'll rebuild it. All we have to do is follow him. That's it. But much like with Joseph, you are here. Each of you are here for a time such as this, to be a part of Community of Grace's rebuilding. So the question is, what is God's plans for you here? And what is his plans for us together? You know, in the Bible study time, we're studying the book of Job right now. And I was asked, why are we doing Job right now? Because the book is so incredibly relevant to what's going on in our world right now, what's going on in our church right now. We just got through the fourth chapter today. You know, it's got 42 chapters. But it has been incredibly relevant already, and it will continue to be incredibly relevant. And it ties in with now and everything that I'm saying right now. And so, if you want to get a greater grasp of what is going on right now, I would encourage those of you that are not listening to the Bible study or not coming to it, I would encourage you to come to it. Because what we're covering in there speaks to what I'm talking about this morning. It will give us a greater understanding of what's going on. Anyway, let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you're doing right now. We may not understand it all, but I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for how you're working and moving. God, I pray that not only are you moving in our house, but you're moving in each one of us because we make this house up. Father, I pray that you would give us the eyes to see what you're doing, that you would show us not only what you're doing, but where we fit, what we're supposed to be doing, what we are to be about. That you would bring clarity and you would bring understanding. Father, pray that you would help us, that as you reveal these things to us, that we would not shun away from them because maybe they're new or because maybe they're even scary. Because maybe you have bigger plans for some of us than we ever imagined, and it scares us. Help us, Lord, not to look with fear. Help us, Lord, not to look with our preconceived ideas either. Help us, Lord, to look at this honestly, to look at this objectively, in its pure form. God, I just thank you for the days that are ahead. Help us, Lord, to learn and to get every ounce of what we need out of this time right now. Because this time right now that may not seem like too much is rich if we have the eyes to see the gems that are on the ground on the path in front of us. Help us to pick those up, because we're going to need them. And I thank you that you have put them there in great supply. There isn't anything that you do, anywhere that you move, that you haven't already prepared us for. Thank you for your goodness. Continue to write the story as we walk down the path, and help us to follow it. And I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of you that are watching us on Facebook, I sent out some questions, so let me read those to you. And so the first question is, as we walk into this new season, what is God leading you to do? The second question is, in addition to what God is leading you to do, what do you feel is God's plan for you as we move forward? And what is the destination that you think God is taking you to? And what part does our house play in that? And lastly, as we walk further into this new time, what do you sense that God wants our house to look like now? And what do you see as God's plan for us together? Now, let me just say this, is that some of you listening may not go here. You may belong to another church. So for those of you reading those questions, put your church's name in there. Because he's not just doing this with us. He's doing this with a lot of places right now. And let me just say again, as with Joseph, so it is for us that we are all where we are for a time such as this. So God bless you.